Well, thank you all for coming today. Really appreciate it for our last Sunday message. And it's something that I've been, you know, thinking about and praying about. And, you know, what do you tell people in this final message? Serve God, love Him with all your heart. Goodbye. And what do you kind of impart to them? And I also thought for my final sermon, I should preach it from up there because I've always been in awe of that thing. But I'm going to resist that temptation and just stay on the, you know me, down to earth kind of guy. Let's take that quite literally. But so here's the message on faithful God. We heard a lot about God's faithfulness. But before we get into faithfulness, I want to discuss fear. So there we go. Fear, because fear is something that we've all experienced at one time or another in our life. If it's a scary movie that we've watched and we've kind of thought, oh, that was, you know, so scary, or somebody's jumped out from behind a pillar or something like this and given us a huge fright. On YouTube, there's this guy called the Bushman, and he dresses up like a bush and he sits in the street, and then when people come past, he goes, oh, like this. And it's just interesting to see people's reactions, you know, the fight, flight, or freeze kind of response that happens for two people. But when I was in the military, and here's a picture actually of me in the military, there's my buddy Wayne. His name is Wayne. And it was many, many years ago, as you can work out from the picture. But in the military, I was about 600 or 700 kilometers away from where Esme was. We were dating at the time, and I needed to get back and see her a lot. In boot camp, in the initial basic training, I didn't see a lot. But once I was posted out in the capital city, I liked to hitchhike home to go and to see her. And then every second weekend, and the alternate weekends, people used to sell me their guard duty. So I'd stand guard duty for them because I had nothing to do on the weekends, and made some money that way. And I used the money to go and see Esme. The one weekend, a friend of mine said, good news, I'm traveling to 1 hour from where you stay. So it's a 7 hour journey normally. So 6 hours of the journey, I'm going to be where you are. So I normally used to hitchhike in my military uniform, which is, as you can see, a magnificent shade of dirt brown, like dark mud brown. And when you hitchhiked in your military uniform, you used to get rides quite easily. But I thought, this is 1 hour from my home, it's going to be easy. So I changed it to my civilian clothing because I wanted to be cool. And then he dropped me off on we call it a freeway. The Americans call it an interstate. And I thought, this is going to be easy. It was like, you know, 5 PM or something, quite a lot of traffic. And so I started hitchhiking. I even showed a leg, didn't work. So I carried on hitchhiking. Nothing happened. You know, 2 hours went past, 3 hours went past. We're starting to get dark now. I thought, I should do something about it. I'm going to be stuck here all night. This is like the industrial part of town where the guy dropped me. I'm just not so happy. So I thought, I should phone home. The only problem was cell phones hadn't been invented then. So I had to go to something called a call box. Now, for all the millennials, I just want to explain this to you. It's like a fixed box in the ground, and you had to go to the box. You didn't carry it with you. You had to go to the call box, put in coins, which sometimes worked or sometimes didn't work. And then you phoned home and you told people where you were, or you phoned whatever you needed to do. There was one problem. This call box was in the center of town. I was on the outskirts of town. Between me and Victory was the semi-industrial area that was getting darker by the second. And so I had a choice to make. What do I do? Do I just stay here another 3 hours? Who knows? So I decided to man up and walk through this industrial area. So I put on my best, you know, I'm a tough guy kind of act, and I started to walk down the road. As I started to walk down the road, fear was wrestling in my mind. Actually, my mouth, it was so real that my mouth started to, the saliva dried up. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. Your tongue swells a bit and you know, you're trying to be tough, but your stomach's not going. And then you know, if you see anybody and they ask you what's happening, you go, because you know, there's no saliva in your mouth. You can't form your words. And you try and act tough and you size people up like, don't mess with me, buddy. like going through your mind. You're not actually saying that, but you're giving them the eye, you know, like, you want to mess with me, you know? Come on, I'll sort you out. Anyway, I made it to the call box. I phoned home. My parents came to pick me up, and I managed to see his man. Have a wonderful weekend. She so appreciated that she asked me to marry her sometime later. However, the nation of Israel faced a very similar situation. Their long-suffering leader, Moses, died, and they were left with a new leader. In many ways, this leader was untested. He was untried. Yes, he had done certain things before. Yes, he was the understudy of the main leader, but he was really untested. You know, would he put up with the nonsense that Moses put up with? You know, the Israelites, they didn't say, hey, look, can we please have food? They moaned and they groaned. And eventually Moses, okay, and he prayed and God sent food or God sent water. And this is the scripture where it says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I don't know about you, but that to me is quite an obvious statement. You thought Joshua might have got it, but we'll get back to that in just a second. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert. And he goes on and explains the whole thing. To me, what's interesting from this opening statement is that God doesn't come and put his arm around him and say, you're going to be okay, buddy. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. He kind of goes, he presents the vision. Because often in a time of fear, what can happen is we paralyzed. We don't know what to, we don't know what to do because there's so much in our minds. It's like when I was, you know, getting ready this week, I've got to sell stuff. I've got to, you know, contact the landlady. I've got to do this. There's so much happening. You've got so much to do that you actually don't do anything. You just paralyzed. You're like, you know, you need to almost give yourself a slap to start thinking straight. And I think God was giving him just a friendly nudge to say, hey, the vision hasn't changed. The vision is still there. I promised this to Moses, and I'm promising it to you. Yes, there's a change of leader, but my plan hasn't changed for you. Next, what happens is God does put his arm around Joshua. He does support him, and he does say, I'm going to be with you, and I'll give it to you in just a moment. But Joshua was facing this country that he had to lead the people into. This was a country that there were real giants, not just like figuratively speaking. These were real gigantic people who had massive swords who like cut through three people at a time. And Joshua, leading his small army, had to go into this place. You know, one thing I've learned, I follow the war in Ukraine quite avidly. And one thing I've learned from these military analysts is they say, in order to go into a country, to attack a country, you need three times as many people as those defending it. Because if you're defending a place, you can dig trenches and the enemy has to come to you to take your ground. And so Joshua was faced with this. And this is what God says to him. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. You know, I don't know about you, but that kind of talk, if God talks like that to me, I'm just like, yeah, you know, God and me, we can do it. We can do it together. It's if God is not saying that, that's when it gets nerve-wracking. That's when it gets like, whoa, gee, you want God on your side because you and God is a majority. You and God is victory when you're together. And this is something that Joshua needed. He needed to be inspired. He was fearful as well. He was wondering, are we going to actually beat these guys? That's why God said these things to him. And then finally, God gives and tells Joshua what the secret actually is. And he says this, Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You see, the key here and what Joshua needed to do was to do everything in God's word. I think today there can be a tendency to do parts of God's word that we lack. Let's get together for fellowship. Oh, yeah, okay, that sounds good. That's food, right? Cake. Yeah, okay, good, good. Coffee. Yes, that sounds excellent. But you should also tithe. Ooh. Oh, I don't like that one, so I'm just going to pick. I'm going to pick which ones I like. No, this is the key here. For Joshua was to do everything that was written in the law. The things they wanted to do, as well as the things they didn't want to do, that they needed to do. The New Testament, I think, elaborates on this a little bit. And in Acts 2, early church, it says this, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I think this scripture says that we need to absorb God's word. We need to do everything in God's word. But we also need to make sure that we're in fellowship with one another. We need to make sure that there's this breaking of bread. What is that? Our personal relationship with God. That is not just a collective relationship. There's this personal relationship. And to prayer. I think prayer is actually a sign of dependence. It's saying, God, I need you. This is what I need help in. I can't do this by myself. I really need you. So why am I telling you this? Here's the application. For Sujo International Fellowship, you are facing a situation where leadership is changing. You're like the Israelites in some ways, you know? I'm like Moses in that my hair is white and I'm slightly older, you know, but I'm still alive. Okay, I'm not dead yet. So still going. But there's a change of leadership. And with the change of leadership, sometimes there can be fear because there's an unknown component. What's going to happen? You know, when you leave on Monday, you know, who do we get? What's going to happen? Well, the elders will tell us what's going to happen in just a moment. And God's got a plan because God is in charge. But the future's not 100% known. For me too, the future's not 100% known. We there's things in the pipeline and things happening, but you know, we both are walking in faith. So here's the encouragement that I want to leave you with. Number one is God started with the vision. I want to encourage you to remember the vision. There's the vision up on the stage. I want to encourage you from Monday morning to keep being expats who live, love, and lead like Jesus. Continue doing that. Don't stop. Yay, Brad's gone. We don't have to do that anymore. Yay, we can do whatever we want. We can pick. No. Let's keep that as a vision and keep going forward. The second important component out of four that I've got for you is trust. You might notice that Moses died, but God raised up another leader. And actually at Sujo International Fellowship, we have elders, and I am one of the elders, actually. I'm just here on a full-time church capacity, but they are here. They have secular jobs and they're studying. And so we have an eldership. We have a leadership team that happens. And I'm one part of that four-part leadership team. So guess what? There's still three parts left. That's a majority that's still left. They're wise people. They're people that I trust. They're people that I know will keep the vision and will keep moving forward. Third important element is remember, God is still with you. I'm not taking God with me. All right. Sorry, guys. There's God in my suitcase. Okay, I'll be overweight with the suitcase. But, well, in a way, I am taking God with me because he's in me, but he's also in you. And so God is still here. God is still wanting you to do that. God is still wanting to work through you. God is still wanting to bless Sujo International Fellowship and have Sujo International Fellowship be a place where expats can come and receive the love of Christ, receive the joy of serving God and be in fellowship. And the final aspect is this. Keep your life based in the word. keep in fellowship with one another. That's small groups, I think. And it's prayer and personal relationship. Keep those before you. Quick, I want to finish because I only want to speak for 20 minutes today, which is unusual. Let me start with the regrets. I have two regrets, two main regrets. My first regret is this, that I didn't go on more mission trips. Now, this is all COVID related. There's nothing that we could have done to change this. But I can remember there was a team. I think we did two like live mission trips. Number one, there was a group of people that went to South Africa. I think it was four or five people that went to South Africa, and that was great. But the one, I didn't go on that one, but I went on the one to the Philippines. And just being with many of you in the Philippines was fantastic. I love being with people, and I love being with you guys, and I love going to the Philippines. And I just love the ministry that's happening there through First Love International. We had many more mission trips planned. We wanted to go to Nepal. We wanted to go to some other places around that we didn't get to. I mean, already one of our members had been to Nepal and scoped it out and, like, you know, got the lowdown for us and was ready to take the teams, and then just barely made it back into the country themselves right at the time. And that was it. But I regret that. I regret that I wasn't able to go on more mission trips with you guys. The other regret I have is the student ministry. We had such good plans for the student ministry, and the student ministry was really growing. I mean, at one stage, we had about 100 students here. It was wonderful. And then March came around and everyone got locked down. And then July came and all the students graduated, and that's it. That was it. So the reason I skipped the highlights is I didn't want to finish there. I want to go back to the highlights. But those are my two main regrets. And I loved the ministry to the students. But let's go back to the reflections. That picture at the top left is my first day in the office, the 1st of August, 2018, in Portland Street. I took a picture. I was like, I'm going to remember this. All right, many years ago, look, my hair was still quite white in those days, so it was not so long ago. But these are the highlights that I have, and the memories that I'll take from Suzhou International Fellowship was, first of all, the Easter and Christmas events. I love big events, and I loved organizing the Christmas events. And you might just say, well, Brad, just stay. It's almost Christmas, you know. You can have some more love, and you can do... Yes, that is quite true. You're absolutely right. But if I have Christmas here, it means I don't have Christmas with my family here, which I haven't seen, and my one daughter, you know, for 3 years. So, I mean, it's a trade-off, but, you know, family, natural family is quite important. Let me just put it that way and move on from that point. But I've loved those Christmas and Easter events. And the last Christmas event, just a big thank you to the person who's here right now. So a big thank you to the hotel that we had. There's the hotel right there. But I'm leaving on a high, leaving on an absolute high. There was just so many people there, the biggest Christmas log cake I've ever seen in my life. And so many people, and just introducing Jesus to some people who don't often hear about him is a joy. The second highlight that I have is small groups and hearing what's been happening in small groups. And in my own small group that I led, we've had some beautiful situations. There it is in the middle left. And we've had a situation where there was a lady who needed to get her daughter to Canada. She wanted her daughter to study there. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And then it happened. And we had another person who graduated. They had a master's degree. They couldn't find a job. We prayed. Every week we'd come, hey, what's happened? Have you got a job? It's like, no. And honestly, this carried on. It was getting awkward in a way, because we continued to pray for 3 months, and we had to just tell the person, we are committed to you. We will pray as long as it takes. If it takes a year of praying for you, we will pray for you. We've had people going through hard times that have come to the group and just said, this is what it's about. To me, small groups are a place where we can be real. We don't have to have our Christian face on. Hallelujah. How are you? Blessed in Jesus' name. I am. I've had a lovely week. Absolutely lovely. God has been so faithful in everything that I've done. Yes, I did go to the police station on Wednesday. Yes, this did happen. Yes, my banker phoned me and I am in debt. Yes, Marshall. Yeah. Let's be real. The small groups is a place where we can be real. We don't have to have the hallelujah face on. We can go like, guys, bummer week. I prayed. God did nothing. Actually, I doubted this week. And we can go, Don't worry, we've all been there. Let's pray. Come on, let's join with you. Let's join together. So that's been a fantastic place. I've also eaten way too much cake in small group, just to say that. The other thing that I've really loved is the coffee fellowship in the bottom corner. The coffee fellowship in the hotel afterwards, just meeting you guys one-on-one. I love one-on-one stuff. So I've really, really enjoyed that. And that's been an absolute joy for me. And I want to finish on this point. And this point is the final thing that I've really been a heart here is telling the same joke to the kids at SIF every single week. And the beautiful thing is kids, I don't know if they forget it during the week, but they laugh almost every time, or at least put a, hey, hey, hey. Thank you, Pastor Brad. I've heard that one and my famous Korean jokes and all things like that. So I've really enjoyed the kids. I love kids. I love teasing them, interacting with them. And, you know, the dinosaur boys over there and just talking about dinosaurs and stuff like that and absolute nonsense. It allows me to connect with my inner child again and asking for ice cream. I do this every week with the kids. I ask them for ice cream and somehow they bring me all these different kinds of ice creams. The flavors have changed substantially over the years where they've got to quite disgusting flavors right now. But anyway, it's something that I've really enjoyed. So just to end on that note, I want to just encourage you to keep the vision, keep on trusting God. Keep remembering that God is still with you. He hasn't left you or forsaken you. And keep your life based on God's word. That is absolutely important. So that's the end of my message. I did make it on time, which is quite unusual. So I hope you're encouraged with that. And let's have a prayer. And then I think I'll hand over to the elders. Is that right, Nathan, after that? So Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you just for your faithfulness. We sang about you being a faithful God, and you are a faithful God. We've seen in the life of Israel how you were faithful, how you led them out of Egypt, through the desert, into the promised land. There was a change of leadership. You were still with them. You still blessed them. You still allowed them to possess the land that you had promised them. And Lord, I want to pray a blessing over Suzhou International Fellowship. Things have changed. 3 out of 4 years that I've been here, 3 years have been COVID affected. And so much has changed over these 4 years, 4.5 years that I've been here. But Lord, I know that you are still here. You are still working in hearts. You're still working in lives. You're still bringing people into the country. You're still bringing people into Suzhou. And there's still expats who need to hear about the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. And as long as that's the case, Lord, there's a function for SIF. So thank you for your presence and for your blessing on SIF, that you work through each and every member to reach out to their friends, to reach out to those around them, to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nathan, thank you very much.
Good afternoon. For those of you that aren't familiar with me, my name is Nathan, and this is
Silas.
Silas. And we are some of the current standing elders here at SIF. There's also Hans, but he has found a flight home for a short while, and he will be back. But he's able to get back to Korea for a short while. It's not easy being able to, standing up here. I actually had the privilege of leading the search committee back 4+ years ago that interviewed Brad and Esme for the first time. I still remember the meal that we had out on the lake and stuff, the first time that we met, and being able to stand in front of the church that many years ago, introducing them in this exact same place. This morning I was remembered at lunchtime. We had lunch with Reverend He, who is the leader of the Chinese side of the Dushu Church. And he reminded us that this church was built and started and opened in 2011. And so that means 12 years already at this location. But even beyond that, SIF has been here since, I believe it's 99 is when we started, 98, 99. In November 99, so that makes 23 years. And so it's been an incredible 23 years. We've been here for quite a long portion of that. Not all of it, me and my family. But people come and people go. It's part of the expat story. It's beautiful because we get to meet so many people and we get to see and understand parts of the world and parts of theology and the gospel and God that maybe we would never have understood before if we hadn't met that person or even stayed in our own country. But part of that is also saying goodbye. And so we want to take a few minutes here this afternoon to formally say goodbye to Brad and Nesme and to send them off. As I stood up here in 2018, introducing them to the congregation at the time, we had no idea what would happen a year and a half later. COVID hit, and in some ways, I mean, it's one of those things that as we grow older and we sit on the front porch with our grandchildren sharing stories, we'll be like, I remember COVID. And it will feel so unique to us in our experience, but it's also an experience that every single person at the same time, the globe over, has experienced. And so some ways it's incredibly unique, and in other ways it's incredibly shared between every single person. But regardless, it still was an incredibly difficult time for the church. And so we want to say thank you to both Brad. I'm not usually terribly emotional. And Esme, for seeing us through this time, for being steadfast, and for being the foundation. I mean, we know that God is our foundation. We know that Christ is our foundation. But for being there to say, hey, we got to make sure we get everything in order. We got to make sure we get the video. I know it's not great. I know it's not ideal, but let's keep going, injecting energy, investing time. I know that there was many times where there was uncertainties. And there was, not sure about what next week will hold, but you guys were steadfast and you helped carry this community through that time. And yes, I said that SIF has been here in Suzhou since 99, but the last 3 years have been incredible in lots of ways. And we thank you for that. Your guys, the legacy that you leave is truly a godly one. And it's very, very important what God was able to use you guys, especially during these last 3 years. Brad, specifically, I personally deeply appreciate your prayers. And I don't mean just like, please pray for me and SIF. I mean, your actual prayers when you pray, I appreciate it a lot. I hear the Spirit moving and working. And Esme, I want to thank you for your commitment to the World Church. And your commitment to the ministry here and beyond. I was the one that was in Nepal that almost got stuck, that was hoping to take a trip there later. Really, we were like one of the last flights out of China as COVID was happening. And on that trip, there were, I was really sick. I even wonder if I didn't have COVID or something. I mean, I was the sickest I'd almost ever been. But we had a decision. Do we come back to China and, not knowing what was going to happen? Or do we, head back to the U.S. and hopefully meet my rest of my family there? We decided to one of the last flights back into China at that time. But thank you for that commitment, because we were following leads and connections that you had made, and just absolute incredible people there. And we were able to see God work and move in incredible ways. And so I just want to personally for myself, thank you for your faithfulness and for your leadership through the years. And you will be missed, absolutely. But we know that you're not too far away, right? And that, again, as always, these goodbyes are never the end. And so we know that. And we know that God has got incredible plans for you in the next season. So Silas, I don't know if you want to say a few words.
T, could we have the video?
Words like chaos, thousands of new victims may not surprise to be surprised the moment we share. Starting from his own days, here, Suzhou National Theology, with August 2018, Pastor Brad slowly but surely has familiarized himself with everyone from the least to the greatest. And one of the tools we used was the famous temple. Given to make his good brother home, and labored to teach us out of the bread of life. When things were normal and otherwise. It goes without saying that Pastor Dan was among the first set of pastors worldwide who went online due to lockdown protection. Here at SIM, the Peter Snowboards encouraged men to volunteer We won't forget his involvement at the global industrial summit, Shanghai, where he was to mainstream the US. He always made sure to return home straight, to say something like, Texas, 10 a.m., 5. Apart from the numerous events and activities they have, baptisms, Christmas, eventually, everyone will remember him in bicycle and dinner with them, his favorite restaurant, Sujan. The steps, the kids will not forget his teaching. So much more is said about the contributions one's now. But knowing this since many of us already do. In the compilation farewell messages. Lastly, many may not feel it now, but the heat when they come next Sunday and realize that we, the ones, together. For one of us here at Studio International Fellowship, we would like you to know and always remember that you are greatly loved and appreciated. God bless you.
So Brad and Esme, we'd like to invite you guys to come on up, please. So we asked members of SIF to send messages, videos, and so that's included here on this USB. And then also as just a wanting to bless you guys, we at SIF also have decided to give you a small financial gift to also bless you guys in your next journey and season. And we wanted to invite you guys. I know that you just shared with us, you know, from a very formal kind of sermon type setting and encouraging us in the next season. But also we wanted to give both of you just an opportunity to say a few last words, more to the personal side of things, to SIF. So
thank you so much. All right, do you want to start it?
I just want to grab my phone because I wrote down some things. I don't want to forget. So, hello, SIF. Thank you so much for all coming out. I see some faces that I don't always see here. So just to start off like Brad did with one regret is I arrived in Suzhou in sort of September 2019. And then 4 or 5 months later, everything kind of closed down. So that was a little bit sad. But there were rewards that came from that. So that summer, I don't know if Jemf is here, but Jemf, Joanna, and I, we started, how's it, Jemf? We would meet because many people had already left, and we started to prayer walk. You know, Joanna and I have adult kids in different places, and our faith had to grow so much because we couldn't get to them, even when they were going through very difficult times. Some of you know my one daughter struggles with an eating disorder in 2020. They wanted to hospitalize her, but they couldn't because it was COVID, and COVID, the hospitals were dealing with this kind of crisis. And week in and week out, I was like, should I get on a plane? Should I get on a plane? And we would just pray and pray and pray. And out of that came what we call talks and walks. Porsche is part of that as well, and Sunny and a couple of others. And we would get on the subway and go the different lines, the ends, and we would pray over the city and just trust God to continue to move in Suzhou. And so even though COVID was very difficult for us, I can say that the reward out of it is that our prayer life and our connection became much stronger. And then for me, the same as Brad is the Four Points community. I just love going there after church. Sometimes it's even more fun for me than maybe even church. Sorry, love. I know, shocking. But I just love the community there and, you know, Brad interacting with the kids. And I feel like so many of us have got to know each other, probably in ways that we wouldn't have if we hadn't had the COVID thing that happened to us. So walking over there and getting to know you all so well has been such a blessing. High points in this church is I honestly, like Brad, love the kids. You guys have got amazing kids, and they just the young families that are at the back there, the sweetness of your spirits, there's just such sweet people here, and your kids show that. And, you know, I, having walked with the Lord for decades now, I've seen kids that have, whose parents have taught them to come to church Sunday after Sunday. When they go to college, of course, this is not a rule because people are people, but the percentage of kids that end up then making church every Sunday part of their life is much higher than people who are not committed to the practice of fellowshipping together. And so I want to encourage you. You guys are doing an amazing thing. And this kids' church, now I've served at many kids' programs, honestly, around the world. And Portia and her team, they are like world-class. Their commitment to your kids, really, this church is outstanding in this area. And so I really want to encourage you that when you take your kids there, Portia's never here. She's always, Joanna, they're always with the kids. Like, I mean, who does that week in and week out? But they do. And so that's always been a real blessing to me and a real highlight of this church. And so I want to say well done. One other highlight in Suzhou, which is a bit of an unexpected one, was our tennis group. So we have played with Russians and then Nigerians. And recently it's been the Americans and the Brits that have come on the scene. But I've really enjoyed that. It's been something that I've looked forward to. And it's not, I mean, my tennis has really improved, has it not? Yes. but not just that, because I had to play with mostly guys, so I had to improve. But it's always the fellowship that I look forward to as well very much. And so I just wanted to leave these words with you. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. It says this, you'll know the scripture, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more so as the day is approaching. And gathering together is really something that is in God's heart. I don't see the church as an institution. I see it as a movement. I see it as it's something that's living. It's part of an ever-increasing kingdom. And so Brad and I have given our lives to this kingdom, but also to the local church. And so I want to encourage you, stay connected. Stay connected in small groups. Stay connected here on Sundays. You know, initially, if you leave the fire, like if you put a coal by itself, obviously it stays burning. And that's what happens when we kind of drift away. But it just takes a couple of weeks and months, and then before you know it, your love does grow cold. We need each other. The church is in God's heart. It's his plan. Community is his plan. And so I encourage you to stay connected and to continue growing what God is doing in this city, because he is most definitely not finished. And so personally, I just want to thank you for the sweetness of your spirit. So many of you are just so precious, and we will always treasure you. And our small group has been absolutely amazing. It's probably the best, honestly, the best small group I've ever been connected to. So thank you. We love you. And we will continue to treasure you and value you and all that God is doing in and through you. Amen.
So I've already given you a whole message. I'm just going to say one point. I think if you had to distill me down to one point, it would be this. I love connecting people and connecting with people. And so I've said it in the sermon, and Esme said it as well, but the Christian life is not meant to be done alone. You're not meant to lock yourself in a room and just get your Bible and read it. Now, you should be reading your Bible, absolutely. And you should be alone reading your Bible, but you shouldn't stay there. The Christian life is about mutual support. It's about lifting one another. It's a one another's in Scripture. And so if I could leave you with anything, if you don't remember anything from the video that Silas showed, or that was a very good one, I love it. Hopefully it's on that disc, right? So, oh, you better send it to me. If there's anything that you remember, remember me saying this. Don't do the Christian life alone. Get connected. Get with other people, because you're going to have your up days, you're going to have your down days. When you're down, you need other people. When you're up, other people need you. And so get into a small group. Make sure you're lifting one another up. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure serving with you as well. And Hansos, you know, you'll have to just pass this on to me, watch this video, but it's been a joy serving with you. I pray God's blessing and favor upon you. I know he's already given you wisdom, so he doesn't need to do that anymore. You just need to apply the wisdom and the anointing that you do have. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. Come back. So come on over here. This is perhaps one of the most important things that we can do is be praying for them as they go from this place. I'd also like to invite my wife, Portia, up here as elder and us together, and then Hans and Sonny as well. We are, and Silas, we're still committed to the community here, to serving, and we stand together with them as we send them off, and we will be standing together still tomorrow and the day thereafter and the day thereafter, as we look into the next season and see what that looks like. Also, this is not the last Sunday just for this SIF family. I think also Stephen and family as well. Yes, you guys are here. Yeah, maybe if you don't, you can stand up if you want, just so folks can see you. They've been here for a number of years, involved in the Sunday school and a number of other ministries. And so we'd also like to say a prayer for them as well, as this is their last Sunday. So be sure to also go up, give them a high five, and wish them Godspeed in their next season. So just where you are, please, if you'd put your hand out and symbolically kind of praying for them and putting your hand on them. I'd like to pray, and then I'd also like to ask Silas to pray as well for them. Just pray God's blessing and mercy on them. Lord God, we thank you for the life and the ministry of Brad and Esme, for what you've done in their life from those early days of him trying to hitchhike, Lord God, and civilian clothing all the way up to doing church online and, you know, and everything in between, Lord God. For Esme and her commitment to the World Church and her time spent in the Philippines and Nepal and so many other places, Lord God, it's evident that your hand is on this couple, Lord God. We thank you that they've been able to be here with us at SIF for the time that they have been, Lord God, that they've been able to carry. There were lots of volunteers and lots of other people behind the scenes as well, but carry some of that burden, Lord God, of leading the church through such a unique time. Lord, thank you that you have just been so faithful in their lives up to this point, Lord God, and we know that you will continue to be faithful in their lives, Lord God, that this is not the end. As Brett reminded us in his message, he's not dead like Moses was. He's still alive and kicking, Lord God, and we thank you for that, and we thank you for their next step. Lord, we thank you that they'll be able to reunite with at least one of their daughters here shortly, that they haven't seen for a number of years, Lord God, and other family members, and we just ask for continued blessing on them in their next stage, Lord God. I mean, even just the logistics of making it to the airport and getting on the plane tomorrow. And, you know, there are so many uncertainties, Lord, but we know that you are faithful. We know that you, that we can rely on you and that our hope is in you, Lord God. And so continue to bless them, continue to straighten their path, Lord God, and to use them to shine your light in every single place that they find themselves in, Lord God. We also want to pray for Stephen and his family as well, Lord. We want to thank you for their children and just their time here, Lord God, for the help that they've given in the Sunday school over the years, and also just ask for your blessing on them as in their next stage as well, Lord. Continue to be at work in huge ways in both of these families' lives, Lord. Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you for the ones. We are so grateful that we do not have regrets today of having them serve at Sujo International Fellowship. Or we return the glory to you. And as they go, we send them off with your grace, with your blessings. We ask for their next assignment, that you're going to cause them to flourish in the new place they will be heading to. We're asking that you keep them in peace, their children and their extended family. And we're trusting you that SIF will also grow even as they transition. We are just grateful, Lord, and we trust you that greater things lie ahead for them and for us as a whole. All this we have asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah, have a seat.